ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट् अस् बोत् मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
Continuing, Katha Upanishad, Yamadharmaraja is truly a Dharmaraja. Here we find something extraordinary. Usually, people become very jealous if they find someone else much better than what they are, they themselves are. And this jealousy is also seen sometimes even among the gurus. But of course, you know, a sadguru, a real guru, will be more and more delighted at the greatness of his disciple. One such living example we get in the life of Swami Vivekananda. Of course, Sri Ramakrishna used to praise his disciple Narendra, just as Yamadharmaraja was praising Nachiketa. My Naren, if others were only small stars, my Naren is the biggest star. If others have got only one petal, my Naren is like a thousand petaled lotus, etc. So the point is, Yamadharmaraja knew that he himself had to struggle a lot. He could not overcome the so-called temptations only after going through the experiences of many of these so-called pleasures and positions. Even the position of Yamadharmaraja, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, all these are nothing but positions, and every position is a temporary phenomena, though from human point of view, it lasts for many, many years, unimaginably greater number of years. In our last class, we discussed the 10th mantra of this Katha Upanishad, Aneshe Midli. Yamadharmaraja was declaring, telling indirectly, compared to you, I am inferior to you in a way. Janamyaham shevadihi iti anityam nahi adhruvaihi prapyatehi dhruvam tat tatomaya nachiketas chito agnihi anityaihi dravyaihi praptavanasmi nityam. The best way for us to understand this mantra is telling, I knew intellectually that all these positions are very temporary and unworthy, and in comparison with that eternal infinite position, which is my true nature, these are nothing but trash. But still, I could not hold myself. Tato maya nachiketa chito agnihi. I have performed this nachiketa agni that was taught to you by me, and flawlessly you understood and repeated it, because of which I named it as Nachiketa Agni, Nachiketa Agni. I also knew Anityaihi Dravyaihi, through what we call temporary means, impermanent instruments. Whatever is obtainable is also temporary and very limited and finite. And yet, I have used those instruments, meaning the yagas, yagnas, etc., that have been very beautifully laid out in the first part of the Vedas, called Karmakanda, and I have attained to this position, which he calls here Nityam. We have to understand it, Nityam, the positions of Yamadharmaraja, Indra, Chandra, Nitya means that which lasts a long, long time, including the position of the Brahma. but it doesn't mean it is comparable to Brahma. So this is called Hiranmaya Padavi, the position of Hiranmaya also. What is the meaning? O Nachiketa, you are far, far superior to me because your intelligence is such a wonderful thing. Now, what is it that can be attained through these temporary means, through these limited instruments? According to the Vedantam in Upanishads, according to Puranas, according to what we call Vedantic scriptures, Brahma Loka is the highest dualistic, humanly imaginable, attainable joy, ananda, bliss. And what is the nature of this Brahma Loka? Most people, when they hear the descriptions about Brahma Loka, or in devotional terms, it can be also called Vaikuntha, Kailasa, Devi Loka, whatever you call it, Brahma Loka, Hiranmaya Loka, etc. From Vedantic point of view, what Puranas call Brahma Loka is called Hiranmaya Loka. The universe that is the Hiranmayas, belonging to Hiranmaya. By meditating upon him, doing upasana, becoming identified Hiranyagarbha, and that Hiranyagarbha Padavi is the highest. Other words, it is known as Brahma Loka. Here Brahma is not Brahman. Some people may mistake. Brahma is the manifestation of Brahman. It is the creator is called Brahma, Brahmaji. In the Mundaka Upanishad we see that this highest teaching had started from Brahmaji, who taught it to his son, etc. Here, a brief description, very wonderful description is being given of such Brahmaloka, which is the highest that is attainable by performing these limited means, sacrifices, yajnas, yagas, etc. What does he mean? Kamasya aptim. We are dealing with mantra 11 in Katha Upanishad. This is the second section. First chapter, second section, 11th mantra. Kamasya aptim jagataha pratishtham kratoh anantyam abhayasya param stomam mahat urugayam pratishtham drishtva dhritya dhiro nachiketo atyasrakshihi. This Brahmaloka, what is its nature? It is the fulfillment of any desire that can be imaginable, that was imagined in the past, imaginable now, and would be imagined in future, and this is the highest limit. Beyond that, there can be no other equivalent loka. Kamasya aptim, the fulfillment desires of desires. And it is the foundation of the universe. The endless rewards of sacrifices. They show the world where there is no fear. That which is adorable and great. The wide abode and the goal. All this, O Nachiketa, you have seen, and being wise, you have with firm resolve simply discarded everything. Now the question may come, when did Nachiketa go to Brahmaloka, and when did he enjoy these things, and when did he understand this is all very temporary, not worthy of any intelligent human being, and so he discarded. Remember earlier mantras, what Yamadharmaraja offered him. First of all, he himself spelt out, these are the things I am going to give you, these chariots, this music, and all these beautiful women. In other words, whatever can be comprehended within what Sri Ramakrishna calls Kama and Kanchana. By the way, very few people relate these words, Kama and Kanchana, the words used by Sri Ramakrishna, with Brahmaloka. But that's what exactly he means, that this is this Brahmaloka is the highest enjoyment that can be attained by anybody. Is it a fact? Yes, it is an absolute fact. Because Yamadharmaraja himself said, I have attained to that state. How? Because I have offered it to you. First of all, Yamadharmaraja said, take this, take the other thing, which are known by most of us. Then he says, think deeply. If you think this is not enough, whatever you desire, that I am prepared to give. And in that boon, all this Brahmaloka, Hiranyagarbha Padavi are included. What did Nachiketa do? He was a Shraddhavan. He was endowed with Shraddha. He knew that what his Gurudeva, Yamadharmaraja, is talking about is absolutely true, and he had the capacity to offer it to him, and it is as good as obtained by me. So that is how we have to understand. Nachiketa knew. Now, a doubt may come here. If you say to a child, I will give you a most wonderful Formula One car, and the child immediately rejects it in favor of a few toys, even a toy car will defeat the Formula One car. Our doubt may come, was Nachiketa like a small child, unthinking, ununderstanding? Simply, he did not know what Brahmaloka was and he rejected it? No, sir. Nachiketa knew that such a world exists. He knew that the pleasures, the joys available in that Brahmaloka is incomparable to anything in this world. I would even go so far as to say that Nachiketa had already enjoyed this thing, maybe in former life. He knew the futility, the limitedness of that one, and he firmly believed there is something much higher. Then only one can discard. This is the law which we had discussed many times. No man can give up what is called the highest happiness unless he knows that there is still something much higher than that. Nobody is going to sacrifice a present happiness for some unknown future happiness unless he is firmly convinced such a thing exists and such a thing can be attained and such a thing is within my reach. Here Nachiketa, we presume, had experienced before, and he had without even a second thought rejected it. And now, for our sake, for people's, this is not a mantra meant for Nachiketa, because Nachiketa knew thoroughly what Brahmaloka was. This is for people like us. Kamasya aptim, this is the highest peak of any desire. That means every desire is desired or desirable only when we expect the highest amount of pleasure, happiness, joy or bliss. The highest that any human mind can imagine is nothing but this Brahmaloka. In fact, it is not even imaginable by most of the humanity. This is the end of all desires. And he says, Jagataha Pratishtham. This Brahmaloka is the Pratishtha. How is it a Pratishtha? Pratishtha means it is the substratum, it is the foundation, it is that which makes this whole life completely possible. How is it possible? We have to understand it. All human beings, in fact every living creature, even non-living things, first of all, they do exist. Secondly, the living creatures have got the capacity to think. And every living creature goes through three states. The waking state, dream state, and dreamless state. We have to understand that even a mosquito, it also goes through a waking state, a dream state, and also a deep sleep state. What is Yamadharmaraja is telling? Every creature who has to experience these three states, must have an instrument to experience these three states. That means everybody has got a body and a mind. This, through this body and mind, all the enjoyable things are enjoyable, experienceable through self-effort. Here is the clue. What is it? You ask a mosquito, what is your highest happiness? It will spell it out. You ask an animal, it will spell it out. Ask a human being, spell it out. What is the common thing? First of all, we want to survive for as long as possible. Secondly, we want to be completely aware that we are, and we want to be happy. Thirdly, we want unending happiness. What is Brahmaloka now? Brahmaloka is where the existence in the form of name and form lasts for a long, long, long time. That is the place where a person is acutely aware that he is the happiest person. Every creature will be acutely aware. In fact, if a person or a creature is not aware, then that creature neither experiences happiness nor experiences unhappiness. So if a creature happens to go to Brahmaloka by some chance or the result of some meritorious deeds, then there the acute awareness will be lasting for a long time. What is the awareness? I am such a happy creature in this world, and I do not wish to fall down, to slip down from this state. And of course, that is the highest bliss. Bliss means in heaven. Sometimes the word heaven is also substituted for the word Brahmaloka. In heaven, there is no old age, there is no death, there is no birth, and there is no disease, there is no suffering, only joy and joy and joy. Brahmaloka is the highest limit of such existence, of such awareness, and of such incomparable bliss. That is how we are all trying to get a little bit of that Brahmaloka, because the means we employ and because of our poverty of imagination, whatever little joy or happiness we get, infinitesimal part of that Brahman's happiness or Brahmaloka happiness. This is the meaning of Brahmaloka is the pratishta. It is because of that we exist, because of that we are aware, and because of that we also experience joy, happiness, etc. So, kratoho anantyam. If a person has performed the highest type of rituals, kratu means a Vedic rituals. As we know, the first part of the Vedas are completely full of these kratus, yajnas, yagas, and different types of rituals, which are all enumerated there for the sake of the fulfillment of unimaginable number of desires every human being can entertain or cherish. Kratoh anantyam. If suppose a person does all the sacrifices that are explained in the first part of the Vedas, the result must be also equivalent. That means almost infinite number of joys, happinesses that that person must experience. This Brahmaloka is the highest imaginable joy, which is the enjoyment everybody hopes for. Abhayasya param. All of us, by our very birth, are beset, whether we think consciously or but thinking unconsciously. What is it? One day I am going to die. My body is going to become old, and it is subject to disease and death, which we are experiencing so beautifully nowadays. Nobody wanted it, but it came, and we are experiencing it. We cannot deny it. We do not expect this in this world a state where there is no fearlessness. But Brahmaloka is avayasya par. This world in comparison is beset with bhaya. Bhaya because wherever there is a second, there would be bhaya. From Vedantic point of view, our body is second from us. Our mind is second from us. And everything else is second means different from us. Where there is something different, there would be fear, fear of losing or fear of not getting, not gaining what we want. So where there is only one, that is the highest limit of fearlessness. Brahmaloka, there is no birth, there is no shad urmis exchanges, and there are no diseases, and therefore if there is no enemy there even to create any trouble to him. That uninterrupted, obstacle-less, highest bliss for such a long, long time is called Brahmaloka Ananda. That is why it is called Abhayasya Param, the highest limit of what is called Abhaya. That means simply saying a person never even thinks that there is anything that could obstruct his joy. Even that possibility is also not there. Stomam. Therefore, this is the state which is worthy of attainment. Stoma means that which is adorable. And whatever we adore, God is adorable. Because God represents for us the highest limit of existence, knowledge and bliss. That is why we go on praising God, Ananta, Kalyana, Guna, Samudra, etc. And it is Mahat. Mahat means limitless, great. That means there is nothing greater than Brahmaloka. Uru Gayam. It is wide expanse. What is this wide expanse? That means any number of years, time, and it seems endless time, we are going to experience only almost the highest bliss. Why did I say almost? Because the joy of Atman is the highest, infinite. This Brahmaloka Ananda appears to be infinite, but in reality it is not. So this is called Urugayam Mahat, is the greatest. Urugayam, wide expanse, means for any long, long, long time, it almost appears to be Nityam or eternal. For such a long time, a person who is fortunate enough, meritorious enough to reach that place, experiences it. And Pratishtham, it is the way to reach also the liberation. Earlier I mentioned, there are two types of people that attain Brahmaloka. One type of person is one that who only wants to enjoy, his thirst for enjoyment has not come down. Therefore, after enjoying, again he comes back to top up, as it were, to pay once more. He will have to try to reach there by paying the heavy price. But there is another type of person, and there the enjoyment of Brahmaloka, available only in Brahmaloka, satiates, completely destroys all his desires, accepting the desire that I want to be free, I want only mukti, moksha. So such a person attains what is called krama mukti, gradual liberation. This is the pratishtha. It is the way, so to say, if a person wants to attain what is called liberation, is Brahmaloka. That means worship, adoration, contemplation, upasana, etc. And through that his mind becomes satiated. Even while here on this earth in a human body, and all his desires get fulfilled, thereby the desires are completely removed, and then that such a person, he will gradually attain to mukti, which is the next stage. This Brahmaloka is the pratishta. He used this in this mantra. Yamadharma Raja has used this word twice. In the first line, Jagataha Pratishtam, here also Pratishtam, to emphasize the fact that that is the right way to proceed further. Drishtva, O Nachiketa, you have understood the whole lot, and Dhritya, you never gave up your firm resolution of obtaining moksha. You are a dhira, endowed with tremendous buddhi. Dhi, what is the buddhi? Tremendous amount of discrimination, the highest type of discrimination you are endowed with, and as a result of it, without thinking twice, O Nachiketa, Atyasrakshi, you simply renounced Brahmaloka, that is the meaning of it. So, Brahmaloka is the fulfillment of desires, the foundation of the universe, the endless rewards of sacrifices, the shore where there is no fear, that which is adorable and great, the wide abode and the goal of every struggling creature. All this you have seen, you have understood, you have discriminated, you are wise, and without a second thought, with firm resolve, you have discarded everything. Through this mantra, the Upanishad, the scripture, Shastra, is also telling us, only those who resemble Nachiketa, whose one goal is the realization of the Atman, and who is capable of renouncing even that highest enjoyable loka, Brahma loka. Loka means ananda, Brahma loka ananda. Only then such a person will be fit to really earn. And in other words, when a person is endowed with so much of discrimination, followed by this dispassion, such a person is sure to obtain liberation, mukti, moksha. Then, the king of death is praising Atman in order to extol Nachiketa's wisdom in firmly discriminating and rejecting all the temptations, including Brahmaloka, which Yamadharma Raja was capable of granting, and firmly rejected it. What is the nature of that Atma? This was the question that Nachiketa asked as the result of the third boon. Until now, the teaching had not really started. Even now, the teaching has not started. He said, it is extremely difficult even to desire this Atman. Why? Because there is a psychological law. Unless we know about something, even the desire either to have it or to reject it will not arise in the minds of anybody. When the Atman, which is so difficult to understand, even Brahmaloka is very difficult to imagine, not to speak of the Atman, and this Atman is infinite number of times greater, and it is extremely subtle and very difficult to understand. Yamadharma Raja is praising the Atman, describing the nature of the Atman, and indirectly telling us, why is it that many people are not desiring the Atman? Why many people do not even understand, even remotely, a small part of what is the Atman? First of all, the subject, the goal itself is so difficult even to understand, even after hearing. The comprehension will come for very swelling. Yamadharma Raja is praising the Atman in order not only to extol Nachiketa's wisdom, but to let all of us know that the Atman is distinct from the body, the senses and the mind. The knowledge of the Atman puts an end to a man's attachment to this world and enables him to attain supreme bliss. We are entering into the 12th mantra. Tam durdarsham gudham anupravishtam guhahitam gaffareshtam puranam adhyatma yogadhigamena devam matvadhiru harsha shokau jahati. the wise man who, by means of concentration on the self, realizes that ancient, effulgent one, who is hard to be seen, unmanifest, hidden, and who dwells in the buddhi and rests in the body, he indeed leaves joy and sorrow far behind. Dhiraha, a man endowed with this highest amount of discrimination and dispassion, such a person is called a wise person. Why does he aim for realization of the Atman? Because below the Atman, anything other than the Atman, including Brahmaloka, is endowed with harsha and shoka. A wise person wants to give up both. He wants, in other words, to go beyond both happiness and unhappiness. Earlier I made a statement, Brahmananda is unmitigated happiness. There is no trace of unhappiness. Then here, in this mantra, again he is telling harsha shoka, including Brahmaloka. How do we understand it? We have to understand it this way. So long as a man is in the Brahmaloka, he is going to enjoy the unmitigated, uninterrupted, unimaginably great bliss. But even Brahmaloka is something earned by finite means, limited instruments. And anything that is obtained as the result of employing limited, finite instruments has to come to an end. The result of any action is absolutely limited. This is what he is telling. So long as a person is in Brahmaloka, even the faintest trace of unhappiness will not be there. There is, of course, no fear at all. But then, in the heart of hearts, unconsciously a person knows this is temporary, however long it is compared to other people's lifespan, but this lifespan of Brahma is also very temporary. This beautiful point, Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all Upanishads, is describing Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahaha. Brahma's one night, 1000 yugas of people like us, human beings, one night. And similarly, 1000 yugas of Brahma is his day and his night, which consists of what we call 24 hours a day, half night and half daylight. But even that is also limited. A time will come, then pralaya will come, and that is called Brahma pralaya, and Brahma also has to give up his job, and he himself will be sucked into that infinite, fathomless ocean called timelessness until he is made to re-manifest again in the next yuga. So from that point of view, it is also endowed with harsha, joy, is also endowed with suffering. Tam means that Atman, durdarsham, it is almost impossible. Darsham means that which is experienceable. We are all experiencing through limited mind, limited body, limited sense organs, and whatever we experience through these limited instruments can only be limited. But this Atman is unlimited. Then that means what? No instrument can ever reveal itself to us. That is why durdarshan. But then there must be a way for us to realize, yes, there is a way to purify the mind. A pure Atman, a pure mind, as Ramakrishna says, are one and the same. So what does pure mind mean? Means no mind. No mind, pure Atman, no finity, all these are synonymous words. Tam durdarsham, gudam, extremely subtle. Here is a law, cause and effect, we say. Supposing a pot is made of clay. Clay is the cause and the pot is the effect. An effect is gross and clay is the subtle. the pot is the effect and the clay is the cause. So one is gross, one is subtle. The gross can never comprehend the subtle. That is the law. Therefore he says, Godham. It is extremely difficult. It is also, Godham also means that which as hidden itself, totally hidden, but really not hidden. It is like an open secret. It is a public open secret. Anupravishtam. It has entered into the deepest of the caves. That is what he is telling. Guhahitam. Entered into the cave. Here guha means heart. It has entered into the heart because we understand, we feel through our buddhi. Here guha means heart. Heart means the capacity to understand. That means buddhi. We are all endowed with some amount of buddhi. Our buddhi, according to our capacity, understands that Atman as a small bit of awareness, a bigger bit of awareness, and still more awareness, until this buddhi itself gets destroyed in the process, and what reveals itself is the full-blown consciousness, which is called the Atman. Guhahitam, hidden deep in the cave. And then here the mantra uses a beautiful word, Gaphareshtam. It is hiding in the most miserable thing in this world. What is the most miserable thing? According to discriminating people, this body and mind, which are subject to birth, growth, disease, old age, decay and death, and innumerable sufferings that the body has to go through, whether it is a mosquito or a fly, a dust or a bigger sound, anything in this world, hot air, cold air, and what is called floods, famines, other people's criticisms, and our own ambitions, frustrations. This is land, a house are full of suffering, which Buddha calls Mara, O Maya, you have built this house. Now I have broken all the rafts of the house and I got out of that house. You cannot bind me anymore. I know who you are. This is what is being told, that you have entered in plain sight as if you are hidden. Here is, we are seeing that Atman everywhere. It is the Atman in the form of existence which is manifest in front of us. How much time? All the 24 hours, where? Everywhere. And yet, as if the Atman is hidden in plain sight in front of us, what is this world? It is nothing but creation of Brahman. What is creation? Manifestation of the formless, the nameless, the qualityless, with names, with forms, with qualities, and with utilities. I see a tree. A tree, there are two elements in that tree. The tree exists. That existence part of the tree belongs to Brahman. But the name, the form, the utility of that tree is where Brahman, the pure existence, is hiding in plain sight, means it has taken the form of the tree. We look at the tree and forget the existence, sat, knowledge, chit, and ananda, or asti, bhati, priya, and focus on this tree, separate it from other trees, separate it from every other thing in this world, and then we play with it as if there is no Atman, there is no God, there is no Brahman, etc. To understand this, we also can analyze the Rasa Leela of Bhagavan Krishna with gopis. Bhagavan Krishna, on an autumnal full moon day, he was playing with gopis. And he said there are innumerable gopis. And within every two gopis, there is Krishna. That means every gopi has her own Krishna with her all the time. It is not one Krishna plus many gopis. As many gopis, that means as many devotees, as many souls, so many Krishnas are there. Every object that we come across is nothing but Brahman in all its glory, hiding in the name, form, qualities and utilities. And sometimes when we are going through the rack, through intense suffering, so we are apt to, oh God, where are you? Are incapable of seeing that God right in front of us. This was of course the question Prahlada's father puts to Prahlada, where is your Narayana? And Prahlada immediately says, why? He is here. He is everywhere. Show me where he is not. Then Hiranyakashipu points to a stambha, a pillar. So, is he there? Not only he is in, not only he is out, he is the pillar. Hiranyakashipu breaks. Of course, what is that pillar? Our ego. What is hiding God from us? It is our egotism. When our egotism breaks, then what remains is nothing but pure consciousness, pure God, pure Brahman. Gaffareshtam. Purana means ancient. Ancient means eternal really. Adhyatma yogadi gamena devam matva. Dhira is a person. He is called Dhira. He has been bestowed the highest intelligence by the Divine Mother. What does he do? He understands that I have to realize the true nature of my own self, Atman, Paramatma. What does he do? He surrenders himself to a teacher and with 150% faith in the instructions, he hears the truth, Shravana. He contemplates, thinks deeply about that instruction. That is called Manana. Finally, he puts it into practice. That is called Nididhyasana. And he realizes that Aham Brahmasmi. So this is what is meant here. Adhyatma Yoga Adhigamena. Adhigamena means by the realization of that supreme truth. What is it? I am Brahman. How did he realize it? Yoga Adhigamena. He had controlled his mind. He had diverted all his thoughts from everything else. He had only one thought in his mind, that there is only God. I must think only about God. And this is called Adhyatma. Atma Adhisthana. That means what? Think of the Atman. That is called Adhyatma. Through that yoga, through that unceasing contemplation of that Supreme Self, Devam Matva. So he had realized that Devam, Deva means that Swayam Jyoti, that self-revealing, self-knowledge, that highest of the lights, because of whom every other light like the sun, the moon, etc. are able to give us light. Having realized, what does this man attain? Unending, uninterrupted bliss. Harsha Shokau Jahati. He attains. The mantra also is an indication. O Sadhaka, if you wish to have the highest type of realization, you also, like Nachiketa, you also follow his footsteps and find out a teacher, surrender yourself, listen to his teachings, meditate upon them deeply, and one day, if not in this life, in some other life, sure you are going to reach, and what happens? You also will be swimming in the ocean of bliss. We move on to 13th mantra. Etat shutva samparigrihya matyaha pravruhya dharmam anumetam apya sa modate modaniyahi labdhva vivrutaha sadma nachiketasam manye. Yamadharmaraja is further telling, O Nachiketas, vivrutam tava sadma brahma sadma manye. I consider, I believe, not I believe, I know, what is it? That you have already entered into that realization of Brahman. Sadma means an abode, a house. Here sadma means Brahma, abode of Brahma. There is no such abode. A human being can have an abode, a bird can have a nest, every animal has got its own sleeping place, hiding place, but Brahma being infinite, there is no such thing as a hiding place. It means Nachiketas had really understood, realized, I am that Brahma. Sadma vivrutam, as though it is open door. That means if a house is locked, no man can enter into it. But if it is all the doors, windows, everything is open, anybody can enter into it. For you, as if the doors of the Brahma, not Brahma loka, Brahman's loka, Atman's loka, Atma loka, is completely open to you. That means you have realized that I am Brahman. You don't need to go anywhere. It is not a place. It is a state of knowledge. Etat sutva. First of all, how does a human being or other sadhaka endowed with tremendous shraddha like Nachiketa and imagining that he also by the grace of God obtained a guru, what does he do? Shrutva. He should listen to the instruction. This is called Shravana. Here Shrutva means Shravana. He listens to the teacher with complete faith. He has that intelligence, supreme intelligence, to understand what the teacher is trying to convey, what meaning he says. And then, having obtained that beautiful, invaluable jewel instruction, like Sri Ramakrishna says, Doop, 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 roop shagure amar mon. It is said, when the rain drops a small bit of water, when the Swati Nakshatra is in ascendancy, there is a pearl oyster. It opens its mouth and catches that particular moment, that particular raindrop, closes its shell, dives deep to the bottom of the ocean and doesn't come out until an invaluable jewel, pearl, is formed. So the Shishya is compared to such a person. This invaluable teaching, he catches hold of it. And that hearing is called Mahavakya. Mahavakyas are, as we know, innumerable are there, but four have been chosen from one from each of the Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, etc. For the followers of Sri Ramakrishna, the Mahavakya is Aham Brahmasmi or Tattvamasi or Ayam Atma Brahma or Prajnanam Brahma. Any one of these four. Mind you, Mahavakyas are thousands, but these four have become famous. Like the Upanishads, there are hundreds of Upanishads, but of them, the great Shankaracharya had chosen to comment only upon 10, and that is why 10 Upanishads in people's mind have become the most important of the Upanishads. Not because other Upanishads are unimportant, because of Shankaracharya's and other Acharya's commentaries. Etat Shrutva, doing Shravana from the Sadguru, Samparigrihya, understanding through Manana, the real import of such instructions. Martyaha, here Martya means a sadhaka who understands the ephemerality of his life. He is called a Sishyaha, his mortalness. That is why from his whole heart, the prayer springs up. Asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amrutangamaya, pravruhya. He has separated, pravruhya means separates the non-atman, anatman, from the atman, the object from the subject, the experience from the experiencer. Really speaking, there are no two things. You discard one and you accept one. It is for the beginner, he thinks he is attached to this world. This world is different. It is called Maya. It is called Anatma. But upon realization, the same Jagat also becomes only looked upon as no other than Brahma. That is the later on realization. But for now, having heard Brahma Satyam, he does that. Then, what is the next one? Jagat Mithya. This whole world, until now, to which he is deeply attached, now he knows it is Mithya, means worthless, unreal, undesirable, etc. And then he separates it. I want only God, I don't want anything else. Then, Dharmyam Anum Etam Apya. He truly comprehends. Apya means his comprehension, his understanding of this Atman, knowledge about the Atman is perfect. He understands it correctly. What? Everything else is asatya, mithya. Atman alone is satya. Everything else is only finite. Atman alone is the infinite. Everything else is temporary. Atman alone is the permanent. Atman alone is incomprehensible. It is all spreading, and that is the only truth, that can be the only goal. Until that time, the sadhaka was clinging to what is called prayaha. Prayaha means the worldly happiness. The highest of such worldly happiness, as we discussed earlier, is nothing but brahmaloka, and that person is clinging to dharma, artha, and kama. Now his whole attention has been fixed upon moksha. This is called apya, or understanding. Why? Because only upon truly understanding, the true desire comes. Here we take for granted, this person had understood the guru's teachings, and then he automatically rejects pravruhya, means completely separating what is dharmyam. Here dharmyam means the true knowledge, true goal, which is the Atma. Dharmyam is equivalent to Atman. And Anum, extremely subtle, very difficult to understand, but by the grace of God, in the form of right instruction, this Shishya understood it, and he had almost reached it. Because as soon as 100% understanding comes, what Sri Ramakrishna calls intense vyakulata, yearning also becomes 100%. For such a person who had this kind of intense yearning, is as good as he has reached that what he has been yearning for. What does he do? Sam modate modaniyam hi labdhva, having obtained labdhva, having obtained what? Modaniyam hi, that which is truly enjoyable, that which is the only thing worthy of enjoyment, and samodate, he goes on enjoying. In our, here the mantra is not telling, this moda, this highest bliss is endless, it is not coming to go to an end, and it is qualitatively, quantitatively, time-wise, space-wise, there are no limitations, and he attained that Brahmananda, not Brahmaloka Ananda, but Brahmananda. He swims in an ocean of bliss. Such is the nature of the Atman. O Nachiketa, I consider that you have already reached this state of Atma Sakshatkara, that I am Brahma. Even though the teaching has not started, but because the disciple was endowed with such extraordinary qualifications, he is the most wonderful adhikari, fit person, and for such a person to reach this realization is not going to take a long time. Therefore, I know you are going to realize that Atman very shortly. And then, if the disciple was worthy, then Nachiketa, he said then, Yama should forthwith instruct him about the knowledge of the self. O Guruji, O Yamadharmaraja, if you really feel that I am a worthy student, then this is what I want you to teach. In crystal clear terms, without leaving the smallest occasion for even the slightest doubt. Nachiketa is putting it in simple yet profound words. This is what I want. What is it you want? Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat, anyatra asmat, krita akritat, anyatra bhutaccha bhavyaccha, yattat pashyasi tadvada. O Yamadharmaraja, that which you know, you see, as other than righteousness and unrighteousness, other than all this cause and effect, other than what has been and what is to be, tell me that. To put it in simple words, to understand Nachiketa's question or Nachiketa's request to his guru in simple words, it is this. This is the world. I know this world is made up of what is called avidya, kama and karma. This I see, this world as originating from ignorance, and it is full of desires, and it is full of actions and the results of the actions. Atman, as I understand, is just the opposite. The opposite of ignorance is pure knowledge. The opposite of what we call desires is desirelessness. The opposite of karma and karmaphala, actions and their activities, is where no action is necessary, no reaction will not come, and the result of actions also will not be there. And I know the Atman is such a thing. It is free from the limitations of time, space, causation, the limitations of cause and effect, the limitations of all desires, the limitations of the body and mind. I want you to tell me, to explain to me in crystal clear terms, and to open the door of Brahman to me. In other words, tell me about Atman, which is completely opposite to Anatman. This is what he is telling. Very briefly, this world is consisting of dharma and adharma. We are all bound by dharma. We do good actions, as a result we become happy. We do evil actions, as a result we become unhappy. And again, our rebirth or next birth depends upon what we do here. And here everything we see as in terms of cause and effect. And everything we say here, that something is the result of being done, and something has not come into existence because something is not done. That means everything depends upon what we do through the instrumentality of both action and reaction. And we are all limited by the past, present and future. The Atman is completely opposed to all these things. It is eternal, infinite, beyond time, beyond space, beyond all causations. That I know from the teachings of the scriptures, but I want to hear it from your mouth, because you are a realized soul, and I want to understand. I can understand only when a person teaches through personal realization experience, and not merely repeating like a parrot the words that he learns from other people's mouth or by reading books. And this should be the same phenomena, same experiment by every sadhaka, sincere spiritual aspirant. A time will come, like Nachiketa, he has to separate the world from the Atman, mind you, at the beginning, and then realize the Atman, then look back and say, everything in the house is made up of exactly the same material, like the roof, as Ramakrishna used to tell. This beautiful mantra we will explore in our next class.
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ पीस 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 बी अन टू ऑल
May Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother bless us all.